3:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday Eve. We got great stuff coming all of our ways. Governor Glenn Youngkin is going to be joining us a little more than a half hour from now. Looking forward to chatting with him. Tony Pham is dropping by. Rob Chadwick, United States Concealed Carry Association. We're loaded and we're ready to roll. It's going to be a wonderful afternoon. Lots of things to talk about. And I got news for you, some good stuff. Now, there's not all good stuff. You just heard Charles Pyle with his report. Another one of these local judges somehow, some way deciding that he was actually elected president of the United States. And then, of course, we had our official Virginia State Garden Gnome, Tiny Tim Kaine, saying, well, you know, you can't just, the president can't, actually he can. Because what we're talking about here are executive level decisions, such as an example with the staffing, right? Tiny Tim Kaine does not like the fact that what was misnamed U.S. aid, nothing more truly than a means to launder money and take it from your pocket to my pocket and put it into the hands of these left-wing NGOs. He doesn't like the fact that the president said, we're not going to do that anymore. He also doesn't like the fact that state-run media, NPR, PBS, they're also in the crosshairs. They are. It's craziness. Absolute craziness. Seems to believe that once you've set it up and it's all this left-wing operation, well, by God, it's just going to keep going. And finally, I'm telling you, this is a generational leader in President Trump. This is somebody who comes along once in your lifetime. No, it's not what we're going to do. Ultimately, does Congress have the power to decide? Sure. We get it. The president doesn't actually write the budget. He writes a budget proposal. His staff writes a budget proposal. Most of us have been around the block a time or two. We know how this works. But all that Tim Kaine is doing, as he usually does, is trying to scare people. You know, he engages in this ridiculous, and I do mean ridiculous, continual attack on President Trump. I just thought I'd offer that. Now, Chief Rick Edwards in the city of Richmond, Richmond Police Chief, said the crime rate is pretty much static, just the way it is, and I will take that over an increase. Would I like to see the crime rate come down in the city? Of course. I think most of us would. But the chief delivered the state of the criminal situation, said we're fundamentally where we were the last time I chatted about this. And given the problems that the city has, that's not a bad accomplishment to hold the line. Rick Edwards is a solid chief of police. Let me be as clear as I possibly can on that. Rock solid chief for RPD. Up through the ranks, cares passionately about the troops. Supports the guys and gals that are out there doing the job every single day. Cares about the safety of the community. Cares about the community. You know, he could go anywhere. That's one of those things people do need to bear in mind. This area, we have some really good quality people. And many could choose to go elsewhere if for some reason they chose to go elsewhere. Rick Edwards is one of those guys. So just bear that in mind. All right, a couple of the other things. Let me remind you about the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. I am taking a look at the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. A couple of folks wondering what was going on this morning. Rich was off. Rich Herrera, who hosts Richmond's Morning News, took this morning off and is taking tomorrow off. Son Riggs is in town. And they're spending a little time together, so good for them. Rich texted me a couple of photos, and they just look like they're having a great time. So that's what happened. We've got a substitute in the morning, today and tomorrow. I would suggest you listen to it. Something you might learn, but there we have it. There we have it. 804 says, Jeff, what exactly is Tim Kaine talking about? This whole rescission package is voted on by Congress. You are correct. Good to see these crazy federal district judges are forcing the Supreme Court justices to earn their pay. This case, where once again a local federal district judge, decided that he was elected president, it is immediately going to the Supreme Court. That's not necessarily a bad thing. Not necessarily a bad thing. It will force the court to address it. And when the court addresses it, because this is just like the other case where the Supreme Court said, no, you do not have the power to overrule the president. This one, I would firmly believe, is going to go in exactly the same way. It's fundamentally the same matter. Of course, next week, Joe Moreno will be with us. Former federal prosecutor joins us on a regular basis. He'll let us know how it's being handled, but it would seem to me it'll be the same result. And it will say, no, the president gets to make these decisions. Just because you don't like the president doesn't mean he or she is not allowed to make a decision or enact a policy. But that's what the left has been reduced to now. They hate Trump. Why? I don't know. I really don't. But they hate him. They haven't won at the ballot box. They're not winning in the court of public opinion. They don't control the House. They don't control the Senate. So all they have left are judges who are also activists. And they want to show you how big their gavel is. And so they're passing judgment, which, again, is being overturned by, smacked down by, the Supreme Court. And it's not a close call with this stuff getting to the Supreme Court. Everybody, with the exception of three, seem to be on board. And even one of those three, Sonia Sotomayor, she herself was disgusted at how stupid the opinion from Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson was. And they are fellow left-wing folks. It absolutely amazes me. So anyway, that's some of the stuff that we've got cooking for this afternoon. Oh, I ran into Riley Shia yesterday at this human trafficking event. And was chatting with her. The Virginia Council has a big event coming up themselves. And so Riley's going to hop on with us this afternoon at 5:05. Today is the last day to get your tickets for it. So I prevailed upon her to kind of delay that deadline by at least a couple of minutes so that you'll be able to hear about it at 5:05. And hopefully, head on over and get your tickets for the big Virginia Council event. 804 says, Jeff, Richmond is effectively a sanctuary city. You are correct. LeVar Stoney declared it to be a sanctuary city. The mayor, Dr. Donnie Avuli, he's a left-winger, said he's going to continue this whole sanctuary city stuff. But when push comes to shove, it doesn't matter. The mayor of the city doesn't have the ability to counteract federal law, and that's what this is. The states don't have the ability to counteract a federal law, and that's what this is. So Tom Holman and ICE will be coming to wherever it is they want to come to enforce federal laws. And anybody who doesn't like the law they're enforcing, well, I would give you a piece of advice. I would say what you should do is try and change the law. You can do it. No, you really can. You can elect people that you support who you know will change the law. I would be voting in a different direction, but that's okay, right? Isn't that the whole point of this election process that we've set up? You've got your opinions, I've got my opinions, we agree, we disagree, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. But the way that you change it, if in fact you don't like it, is to elect people who will change it. It is 3:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:21, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve, and guess what? We've got thunderstorms on the way. Have I not said that every day now for a couple of weeks? Yes. Yes, I have. And I will continue saying it. My prediction, and you know I don't do predictions, but were I to do predictions, I will continue sharing some variation on that for the remainder of the summer. Until we hit October and the weather chills a little bit, we will have the potential for thunderstorms every single day. We got some really heavy ones last night, by the way. We really do. Really, really did. God. But it was great sleeping. Hey, my friend Laura Sylvester, the Pie Safe Baking Company, the best baker in all of Central Virginia, is now part of Team Katz, helping the Fatherhood Foundation of Virginia. So Laura is donating money. God bless her. What a sweetheart. She's donating $15 for each Julia Katz strawberry cake that she sells. It's for the first 20 of those. $5 for each bag of the Julia Katz chocolate chip cookies and $2 for each pumpkin bread. Yeah. Well, you want to visit with her so that you can buy some of that? Yes. Yes, you do. This Saturday from 8 in the morning until noon, she'll be out at the Mineral Farmers Market. She's right next to Thankful Farms, which is another great place. They're not on Team Katz, although they do a great job with meat, I'll tell you that. Anyway, Laura and the Pie Safe Baking Company out there this Saturday morning, 8 a.m. right up until 12 noon at the Mineral Farmers Market. And you will be able to support Team Katz as we work hard to raise money for the 10th anniversary of the father figure, the big event for Fatherhood Foundation of Virginia. That's how we pay the bills. That's how we make sure that we've got diapers coming in. You know, we distribute those to dads because dads change diapers as well. Believe me, I know that one. It's how we fund our fatherhood initiative inside the jails. I'm the lead teacher. Can't tell you how thrilled I am to be able to say that, but the lead instructor for the Inside Out Dad over at the Pamunkey Regional Jail. And that's not cheap. The books are expensive, but the guys have got to have the books if they're going to do the work. So we got to pay for the books. You see what I'm saying? So you get the chance to purchase a Julia Katz strawberry cake. They're delicious. Those are Julia's favorite. We always get them for her birthday. And Laura, for the first 20 of those sold, will donate $15 per cake. Bag of the Julia Katz chocolate chip cookies, $5 donated for each of those bags sold. And then pumpkin bread. The pumpkin bread is unnamed. Well, I'm thinking for the right amount, we could get it named. But she will be taking $2 off the sale of each pumpkin bread and donating that as well to Team Katz and the Fatherhood Foundation of Virginia. All right, so please head on out there, Mineral Farmers Market this Saturday. The James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Jeff, if Abigail Spamberger becomes governor, will she make Virginia a sanctuary state? Yes, that would absolutely be her desire. Abigail Spamberger is a dangerous lady. Her ideas are not just different. Her ideas are bad. I mean, really, really bad. We've had such great progress the last 4 years with Governor Glenn Youngkin, and a Spamberger victory would undo all of it. By the way, I should mention this. Governor Glenn Youngkin is joining us just about 20 minutes from now. You don't want to miss him. Governor Glenn Youngkin, always happy to welcome him to the program. 3:26, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve, less than 10 minutes from now. Governor Glenn Youngkin is going to be joining us. Always look forward to chatting with the governor. We have an economy that is absolutely cooking in Virginia. You make no mistake about that. It has been ignited, reignited perhaps, tended to properly by the governor, by his team. And we really, really are doing a great job. Now, you heard that little thing about the CNBC rankings. We have been number one. Now, apparently, we're number four. They're looking at the increasing costs. Well, if you'd like to see Virginia fall way down on the list, you know what would happen? You would repeal the right to work law. You would enact a $15 to $20 an hour minimum wage, and you would empower a whole variety of unions. That would guarantee you that we won't even be in the top 10. You know who wants to do that? Abigail Spanberger, Ghazala Hashmi, and Jay Jones. That's their plan. That's what they want to do. They want to turn Virginia into Maryland. You know, we always talk about don't California my Virginia. That's my buddy, Congressman John McGuire, came up with that one. And I agree with him. Last thing I want is our beautiful, beloved Commonwealth to become California East or New York South. But we don't even have to travel that far to see the problems. You can look right up 95. Take a look at Maryland. Good Lord. Anybody really want to go in that direction? Even if you're on board as a, you know, like a crazy leftist. Why? Why would anybody want to live with that? With the restrictions? Anybody remember the restrictions of Ralph Northam? God, what a terrible time that was. You remember the times with Terry McAuliffe? Oh, just awful. So these last 4 years, gang, let's be honest with each other. This Commonwealth has made such huge strides. Getting right back to where it should be, where it can be, where it needs to be. Right, making Virginia the best place to live, work, and raise a family. I wouldn't be able to understand how anybody would say, yeah, let's turn our back on that. Well, we'll talk with Governor Youngkin about that. There's a lot of things that we need to address with the governor. Just a couple of days ago, he was down at 84 Lumber, it was at North Chesterfield, I think, to talk about the reduction in that onerous regulatory space. I have friends who are business owners, and they've told me for years, oh, I would so much rather that regulations be cut rather than I even get a tax cut. That's how bad they are. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll talk about those CNBC rankings, how our economy is doing. Governor welcoming Buc-ees to the Commonwealth. Good to have them here. Lots of great stuff. Governor Glenn Youngkin joining us just a couple of moments from now. It is 3:40, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:43, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Here we are. It is a Friday Eve. I refuse to use that other word. I mean, I know what it is. I know what it says in the calendar. But don't you think Friday Eve just... it feels friendlier and happier and nicer, and you know the weekend is. You know what we've had this weekend? I mean, didn't we have to work a full week this weekend? Were we off on Monday, Jerm? I don't know. No, I think this was. Oh my gosh, a full 5 day week this week. Whew. Everybody's going to need a vacation, right? Rich Herrera is actually on vacation. He's taking a couple of days off. He's sent me some really nice photos. Really nice of him with his son. And as someone who had to work away from my family for an extended period of time, you know, when I first got here, we were going through such difficult times trying to find services for Julia. And Harry was on track to graduate as the valedictorian from his high school up in Massachusetts. Oh, really? So I did this insane back and forth and back and forth between my two beloved commonwealths, Virginia and Massachusetts. And then as soon as we could, let me tell you, we came. You know, it's exactly where we're supposed to be. I always tell people, John, I tell all the time, hey, I was not born here, wasn't fortunate enough to be born here, but I got here as quickly as I could. And so I love Virginia, and I love what it is that our Commonwealth is. And I think Rich is learning to love Virginia, don't you think? If you've listened to Rich in the morning, Richmond's Morning News, I know he's, you know, confused one or two things in the early steps, right? Like, you know, Henrico is not Hanover. That's okay. It's all right. And Short Pump is not in the city. Those were the two that I remember. All right. I can assure you that he is well he is well aware of those one or two little things. But I think, truthfully, that good addition, good ad, and is doing right. So we are all, I hope, on the same page in terms of making our beloved Commonwealth the best it can be, the best place to live, work, and raise a family. And my humble opinion, the man who has been able to do that for the last 4 years is my friend, my governor, Governor Glenn Youngkin, who is joining us. Governor Youngkin, thank you for being here.
Hey, Jeff, great to be with you. And I just, thanks for making time for me. And before we get too deep, hey, I want to thank you for serving on our board for people with disabilities. I just want to thank you. It was a very important seat to fill with someone who truly believes in representing folks who are extraordinary. And so thank you for doing it.
Well, you are very kind, sir, and I thank you for that. The best lapel pin that I was ever able to earn, I'll tell you that. I want to talk about some of the steps that you have taken, some of the things you were just talking about earlier this week. You were at 84 Lumber down in Chesterfield, paying attention to these onerous regulatory matters that really have impacted business. What have you done with that, and why has that been so important?
Yeah, well, at the heart of it is that overregulation kills business. And we are open for business. Literally on day one, I signed Executive Directive 1 that said we're going to reduce overregulation in Virginia by 25%. And we went to work immediately. And this past week, we broke through that 25% number. And when you really think about it, that's 89,000 regulations that have been streamlined. And it has resulted in saving Virginians $1.2 billion every year. And it gets down the cost of living, it brings down the cost of doing business, and it makes Virginia even better at being the best state in America to live, work, and raise a family. And that has been huge. And Jeff, what that has translated to is companies wanting to be in Virginia. And I have to tell you that the idea that we are going to compete every single day against some of the toughest states in America, Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, and Texas, every day to bring investment to this state means that we have to bring everything we've got in order to make Virginia the most business-friendly state. And we've seen this work. Listen, we've got $120 billion of business investment that's been committed to Virginia from companies that are already here and growing or ones that are coming. But we've also seen that translate into jobs, and 270,000 more people are working today. And we've got another 80,000 coming with that huge $120 billion investment. And we've had 15,000 startups, high-growth startups, come to Virginia and get the beginnings of those amazing words, you are hired, to grow in Virginia. And so this is where opportunity is, and that's why these regulations are so important. And some of these things are just flat stupid. They're regulations left over from a long time ago. They're regulations that were put in place in a one-size-fit-all manner. And most of them we have seen either in the housing sector, we've seen them in our environmental quality sector, or we've seen them at VDOT. And those have been the biggest areas where we've been able to streamline. And today, guess what? If you need an air permit or a water permit in the Commonwealth of Virginia, you get it in one third the time is when we started. And that's why businesses want to be here, because they know they can do business at the speed of business, not at the speed of government.
Have you accomplished everything in that regulatory space, or are there still one or two things that you would you'd kind of get rid of if you could?
Yeah, there's still huge opportunities. And in fact, I reset the target. So we sat in our cabinet meeting on Monday, and everybody was celebrating a little bit. And I said, hold off. Listen, we're going to run through the tape in January, and I want another 10% reduction. So 25% just became 35%. And one of the things that we're launching is using an AI tool to literally comb through the residual, call it nearly 275, almost 300,000 regs, and to say, hey, what are these are duplicative? What's being used in other states that's better? And we're going to continue to see our regulatory burden on people and businesses go down, and we're not stopping until my last day in office.
Well, I love the sound of that. Governor Glenn Youngkin is joining us. What about the new rankings out of CNBC? We had been number one for a number of years, and I guess according to the latest one, we're number four. Is there anything to take from that?
Well, first of all, Virginia is number one, and I just want to tell everybody that we are number one when it comes to investment. We've had huge job growth, and what CNBC did was they changed their criteria this year. And biggest thing they changed was they were going to penalize states for doing business with the federal government. So if you had a lot of federal government work, then you got penalized. And that took us from one to four. In fact, they've missed it. They've missed it completely. Because what we've done over the last 4 years is grow at a substantial pace the private sector in Virginia. And therefore, we have seen that huge investment, $120 billion. We've seen huge job growth, as I said, of 350,000 cumulative jobs between those already taken and those that have been committed to. We have 200,000 jobs in Virginia that are open that haven't been filled yet. And so the private sector is roaring in Virginia. And what I constantly have to remind everybody is the vast disproportionate amount of the federal workforce in Virginia works for defense, national security, and the intelligence community. And these are areas that are getting more investment from the federal government. And so I just think CNBC missed it. I think it's a bust in their methodology. We were still ranked number one in education. We, in fact, were number two in infrastructure. We were top 10 in business friendliness and access to capital and all of these things that drive the great results we've had. And I think this penalty that they put on us for being next to Washington, where we have so much defense investment that's going to grow, I think was not only wrong, but I think it really has caused them to misrank us this year. Listen, we're number four. We're sitting here next to Florida, Texas, and North Carolina. And of course, behind us are Tennessee, South Carolina, and Georgia. And as I said, we're in the SEC of economic development. Every company that we compete with, we're competing against these states, and we win a ton of them. And I think this is, Jeff, why it's so important that we pay attention to this election in November. Let's be real. What we have proven is conservative, common sense policies work. You can grow the economy, grow jobs, grow opportunity, and as a result, you grow government surplus. We have $10 billion of government surpluses that we have run since I've been in office. We've had $9 billion of tax relief, and yet record investments in education and law enforcement, making government work better. And I'll tell you, that future for Virginia needs Winsome Earl Sears.
Yes.
And if the other side is elected, let me tell you what they want to do. They want to force everyone to join a union. They want to get rid of right to work. They, in fact, want to continue to run with this this new Green Deal that they put in place, which has been something I've been unpicking for the last 4 years, so that now we have all of the above. We have natural gas and nuclear, and we've got to increase our power supply so we can bring power prices down. They want to regulate what businesses pay people and what benefits they offer. And I'm just telling you, there is a stark choice in this election, a stark choice between a pro-business future that will continue to unleash opportunity for the Commonwealth of Virginia and, candidly, a candidate who will take us back to where we were, which was a Virginia that had no job growth, no economic growth, had more people moving away than moving here for 10 years, and had 25,000 small businesses that closed in 2021. That's not a good future for us, and that's why what we've proven works needs to continue, particularly when we're competing against these states that are also working really hard to have low taxes, low regulations, the best workforce. We're all competing, and Virginia has to continue to win with the formula that we've demonstrated as a winner.
No doubt about that. To continue the amazing accomplishments of Team Youngkin, you keep Team Youngkin in place with a new leader, with Lieutenant Governor Sears. She was here the other day. You know, Governor, one of your and my beloved dining spots, the Tea Room, our buddy Dave Saunders, when everybody was hullabalooing about tariffs, he said, you know, I'm going to go through all my prices. I'm going to figure out where stuff comes from. He went in and made sure that just about everything, I think it's 96 or 97% of the items he uses are American sourced. And so he was actually able to lower the prices on the majority of the menu items. And yes, that will include your beloved cheesy Western. I just wanted you to let know that.
God bless him. You know, and we're seeing this from businesses all over, which is if you reorient your supply chains and you're buying American, you can, in fact, bring your costs down. If you're going to import from foreign countries that are bad actors, your costs are going to go up. And that's what President Trump is doing. And let me tell you, it is translating into huge investment in the Commonwealth. Our economic development pipeline for big facilities has never been bigger. And on top of that, we just had another corporate headquarters, Orbcon, just moved into Virginia. We're going to announce that here we just did 50 minutes ago. But that is what is happening with this pro-America approach, which is, hey, let's buy American products, let's have American supply chains, and let's move global manufacturing into the United States. And when you compete like heck, like we do in Virginia, you win a lot of that. And again, that drives economic growth, job growth, opportunity, and it allows the state to invest in all the things that we're investing in addition to tax relief.
Governor, I know that you have got a million things to do. I just want to take 60 seconds here and thank you for your continuing support of law enforcement. Sitting here as an ex-cop, it just always warms my heart to see you and Attorney General Jason Meares doing the right thing. It was nice to see you addressing the incoming class of trooper trainees for the Virginia State Police, their 144th basic class. You have not only talked the talk, you have walked the walk. And law enforcement in our Commonwealth is better because of it. So thank you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeff. I tell you, this class we have coming out of the trooper school is one of the largest classes we've ever had. It is the largest class we've had in the last 8 years. And it just reflects the fact that people today want to be in law enforcement because we back the blue. We've given them raises. We've given them record investments in training and equipment. And we stand by them, and we understand that a safer Virginia is going to result from more badges on the street. And when we arrest the bad guys and get them off the street, Virginia's safer. And guess what? Those guys who put on a bulletproof vest every day and go to work deserve our thanks. I've got their back because I know they've got mine.
No doubt about it. Governor, I always appreciate you making time for us. I am grateful, not just for your time on the radio. I am grateful for the fact that that you are governor. You're continuing to go out there and swing for the stands every day. And it was wonderful to hear that your family, as they were visiting Texas, that they were fine, that the floods did not impact them in a terrible way. So, again, I thank you for being here, my
friend. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jeff. And I will just say, keep praying for those families in Texas. There are so many people who've lost their lives, and families have been devastated. And Suzanne and I find ourselves on our knees every day, just thanking the Lord, one, for our family, but actually asking Him to receive these lost souls into His kingdom, but also to wrap His peace and His blessing around families that have lost so much. So anybody who can do anything to help the families in Texas, please do, and everybody keep praying for them.
Absolutely. Governor, thank you, sir. That is Governor Glenn Youngkin, and he is the governor of our beloved Commonwealth, and I am telling you, he is the guy who is responsible for Virginia truly being the best place to live, work, and raise a family. He's out there. He does the job every single day, day in, day out. And not to make it overly political, but from the bottom of my heart, I'm telling everyone, if you're not going to vote and move Winsome Sears into the executive mansion, move John Reed into the lieutenant governor spot, re-elect Jason Meares, then we are talking about bringing very, very, very bad times to our Commonwealth, going back a number of steps. And I, for one, do not want to see that. So I love Virginia. I love the Gov. And there you have it. It is Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.